800-282-6DR, where you don't miss a thing.
Now, mobile devices, telephones and iPads, and, you know, they're very useful for work purposes, and they can be very useful as well for, you know, doing a bit of media consumption, maybe watching some TV episodes or a few movies or even playing games. But can they also be useful in the health space? To find out whether or not they can, Morris Mizalowski joins us now. He's a business futurist. Morris, how are you doing?
I'm very, very good.
Good, good. Now, can they, in fact, be used to, well, I wouldn't necessarily say improve our health, but help us track our health and understand, I guess, from a statistical point of view, what's happening in our medical history?
Yeah, absolutely. Not only can they, but they have been. And they have been for the last, really, 20 years or so. It's amazing what that little humble mobile phone can do in the way of health. It plays itself out not so much in our Western societies, although there's a great influx now, especially with apps, but it works really well in third world countries.
Okay.
It's quite amazing. In a place where most of us might take for granted or think that mobile phones don't exist, they actually have a very high penetration. So what's happened over the last decade or so especially is that as mobile phones have increased, people have begun to think, well, if we have them in the most remote areas, what can we do with them?
Mm.
And one of those answers has been health.
Okay, so can you give me some examples of what we're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are some really interesting examples of things that can be done. For instance, there was a really nice one I like, which is called Smile for You campaign.
Okay.
It was run in Africa, and it was around cleft palates, which is something 600 babies in Australia, for instance, every year are born with. It's a deformity, and it causes speech issues. It can cause really strict health issues. It can cause breathing issues. And thankfully, in Australia, it's something with many years of surgery and intervention, something that most people can overcome. But, of course, in third world countries, it's not as easy as that. So what they did, they being the governments of various places in Africa, they sent out SMS messages. In fact, over 1 million text messages were sent across the continent asking people to identify children with cleft palates.
Mm.
Because one of the issues we need to remember is that most people in third world countries don't go for medical help because there's nowhere to go for medical help. And
right.
Even if they did, they don't have the money or the belief that they can access it. So what this thing did was it asked neighbours to go out and dob in, but in the right sense, dob in a neighbour. If one of the children that you're aware of has a cleft palate, make us aware. What they got as a result of this was 35 calls a day.
Wow.
Of people saying, yes, there's a child in my village or in my area that has this. What they were able to do within 3 months is to identify 42 children that had this disease and that could be remedied with intervention.
Brilliant.
So a really nice, simple use for SMS. While we're talking about simple uses for SMS, it's used actually all around the world. Strangely enough, 83% of all countries globally have what's called an mHealth policy, mobile health, mHealth. One of the ones is, of course, around TB in Thailand. This was another interesting one. What they found was that many patients in Thailand that had contracted HIV/AIDS weren't taking their meds.
Mm.
And it was simply a neglect issue. It was one they didn't know the timing. They just didn't keep track of it. So what they did was to give other HIV/AIDS patients a mobile phone and the person that has it. And they formed this buddy system where the buddy, would phone the other person, say, have you taken your meds today? How are you? How are you feeling? And again, it sounds really simple, but what they were able to do was to up compliance from about 40%, in other words, 40% of people were taking their medications, up to 90%.
That's incredible.
So 90% of this population began to take their meds regularly. And of course, that means that they weren't then an excess burden on the health system because they were being monitored. Everyone knew that they were as okay as they can be in their health regime and that they were doing what they needed to do.
That's phenomenal. We're talking with Morris Mizalowski, who's a business futurist. You can check out Morris's website at businessfuturist.com, and he also has a blog at businessfuturist.me. If you want to check out either of those, you'll be able to see exactly what Morris is all about. But from our perspective, he knows about what's coming down the pipeline. And that's a really important thing because we all want to know where we're going. Morris, I have an iPhone. Uh-huh. And I'm very fortunate to have one of those, although it wasn't the cheapest thing in the world. But that's got a number of applications built into it which can assist with my help. And two of them that I absolutely love, one of them is from Nike, and that is a free application. And it's got a GPS built in. And it tracks when I go for a walk or a jog or something like that and lets me know I'm doing a great job. But there's another one from a company called Withings, and they do a set of scales that can also do a body fat measurement, and they feed that information wirelessly into an application, which I can then look at my iPhone.
Isn't it incredible? It's quite amazing. In fact, this whole thing, and what you're spelling into now is what's called e-health, because we need a different word for everything. We charge differently, of course.
Yes.
So this is e-health, and this is a growth area, and especially in apps, it really has grown in the last 2 years or so. And you're absolutely right. That's a beautiful application. And there are all sorts of bits and pieces like that that you can get now that monitor you ongoing. There's ones that if you jog or if you're out, it takes a GPS coordinate, so it knows exactly where you've jogged. It can tell you how many calories. It can, of course, give you, as you said, your BMI. It can feed all that information to you, your trainer, your dietitian, I mean, whatever it is. There are apps you can get that go further and will take pictures of the food that you're eating, the food diary for you. I saw an app the other week that allows you to take a picture of the food you're eating, and it will give you, and this is enough to make me stop eating it, which I assume is what the purpose of it is, it gives you the calorie and the fat content and all the rest of it. So what you're getting is, with all of these apps, is the ability in real time to actually track, monitor, and keep records of your health, your food intake, and of course if you have particular health concerns like cholesterol, diabetes and the rest of them, to begin to monitor that. And I say begin because we're only at the start of it, but we all know that within a few years or so these will be really vital tools in doing that for us.
So do you think that we'll actually get to a point where our doctor actually asks us to install an application on a mobile device and to constantly update it with things like blood pressure and weight and that kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're in fact seeing that at the very acute end. People, for instance, that are waiting for transplants that might have an artificial heart. So there are a number of people that walk around with these kinds of appliances already, and the information is fed back to the hospital, back to the doctor, the medical team in real time.
Wow.
So we're already seeing it. We'll definitely see it down the track. And if it's not feeding back to the doctor in real time, it'll be amassing information, which you can then take and obviously use at your next consult.
I guess two questions from that, Morris. Number one, should we be concerned that it's a possible invasion of our privacy? And number two, is this technology so complicated that it's like virtually impossible for us to learn how to use?
No. Look, the answer to the first question is always a conundrum. I of course, err on the side of saying these applications are opt-in. They're something you've chosen to use, and certainly nobody should be able to or can force you to use them. The information you keep should be only available to you and the people in the pipeline.
Mm.
You and I know there's always people out there that can crack into things, but they're such a minority, 0.1. And so for me, I think it is a fairly safe device, given, of course, we know where they came from, we know where the information is going to,
sure,
the usual.
Yeah.
So I think that makes it somewhat safe.
Mm.
Now, the second question, of course, is an answer of up to you and up to me of what we want to do with it. So these devices really become as meaningful or as purposeful as we want them to.
So, I mean, you know, I've got a lot of older friends, and one of the pushbacks I always get from them when I say, go and buy an iPad, is, oh, they're so complicated, I couldn't possibly work out how to use it.
Yeah, and I'm in fact finding that that's true, but it's more the perception that they're hard to use than the actual occurrence. My mother, is 86, has never used a computer before, but yet can master an iPad or an iPhone quite easily. Again, not for all of the heavy lifting, but can certainly flick through photos and can, if you've shown her the lock step process to it, can manage it. And you find kids, you know, literally, well, kids are different, but kids that are born 1 year old or so can master these things as well. So I find that they are becoming easier to use. And certainly the apps that you talked about, little things we download onto our phones, are really made to be extremely easy to use. So I think that we're going to find them much more intuitive of us. They'll know a lot more about us. And in fact, they'll be as easy to turn on as the key in a car. And then after that, they'll run themselves.
The future is looking very bright indeed. Morris, where can we find out a little bit more about your thoughts? And as I understand it as well, you also do conference speaking and consulting.
I do. It actually takes up a lot of my time on the platform, so thank you for that. Businessfuturist.com is where you can catch up with me. And, of course, as you said before, it's businessfuturist.me, which are the blogs, which are my writings and talking.
Fantastic. Morris, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll chat to you again next week.
A pleasure. Have a great week, everyone.
You too. Cheers. That's Morris Mizalowski there, business futurist. And, well, Morris knows. I don't know how he knows, but somehow he knows what's coming down the pipeline. So we'll check in with him again next week and every week after, I think. Why not? I love what Morris has to say.